The moment we lost our language was the moment we lost our bodies, our gold, diamonds, coffee, and tea. The moment we accepted, or being made to accept, that we could not do the things with our language was the moment we accepted that we could. Moment we accepted that we could not make things with our vast resources. Ngugi wa Thiong. Hi, Stagozonash, and welcome to the Baobab. I hope that you're well, you're staying safe, and above all, you're practicing self-care. I've decided to quote Ngugi wa Thiong because on Saturday I attended the Harare Open Book Festival, and most of the speakers were referring to Ngugi wa Thiong quotes and his text about decolonizing the mind. So I've decided to look for the text Decolonizing the Mind, and I'm sure by the time that I'm done reading this text, I would have seen how language, or I would have appreciated more how language and how maybe colonization has affected us as Africans. When I attended the Harare Open Book Festival, it was my first time, so I wasn't sure of what really happens there. But when I got there, I liked how the speakers were sharing some of their personal experiences. And during, it was more of a discussion rather than a conversation. It was more of a conversation rather than a discussion. So because they shared some of their personal experiences, it somehow broke the barrier between the audience and the speakers. So it was really a great time, and I learned a lot. The program was well planned, and there were different speakers, and some of the speakers spoke about translation. And I learned that translation from one language to another, let's say English to Shona or Shona to English, has got a lot of challenges. And sometimes some of the benefits include that you end up embracing some ideas more when you translate them from, let's say, from English to your native language, because there are some things that are not common to English. Let's say the African practices, let's say the issues of totem, the issues of lobola, the issues of kuroba guva. So now when it's translated from the challenge is that if someone now tries to translate them, let's say it's a Shona novel, to English, it might be a challenge to the translator, because how do they explain these practices when they are only unique to a particular race or a particular culture? It also helps in translation from English to a native language. It is also helpful because sometimes the reader struggles, the writer might have struggled to explain, let's say, the issue of ululating or the issues of clapping hands, the issues of clan praise. But now when they are translated to Shona or Ndebele, and people are now reciting their clan praise, it brings you closer to home. It reminds you of how your uncle used to recite the clan phrase when someone had excelled in school. It also reminds you of who you are and your identity. And in some cases, one thing that Ignatius Tim Abasa said was that when you're translating a book, you end up becoming a part of the struggle. And sometimes they translated Neva's Conditions from English to Shona. So he was saying that in a way he understood more of what Tsitsi Dangarembwa went through when she was writing the book. So sometimes when people begin to judge an author of how they wrote the book, and even to criticize them, the moment that you translate, you become a part of the struggle. You see how Tambu might have struggled during that time, because most of the girls were not given enough opportunities and compared to the girls. And also, during translation, there are some practices that there are some practices that are not common to a particular language, so you end up maybe trying to recreate them. But also the issue of translation, I think it's exciting to the writer, and because there are some people who are keen on reading some books, but they feel that they'll be comfortable reading them in their language, let's say in Shona and Ndebele. So the moment that someone translates them is also helpful. Some of the conversation that we had was about book clubbing in Zimbabwe. So there were two book clubs. The speakers were from Harare Book Club and then Elite Book Club, and they shared how some book club members of the book club end up making connections, Making friendships, even relationships. So people just don't go for a book club just to read a book. It might be a chance for you to fall in love. It might be, you don't know, maybe your next client is going to meet them at a book club and make friends for life. About it, the issue of making friends, I can actually emphasize about that, because when I joined Afro Bloggers, which is a community of bloggers, podcasters and all, I did not know anyone, but I've made friends. One of my friends, Kuza Nai, we have been friends since 2021, but we met through Afro Bloggers. So sometimes when you're in a part of a community, you make relationships and friends that are going to last. And they encouraged that. And so they shared some of the practices that they do in their book club. One of the book clubs say that when they give a deadline. They say they're reading chapter 1 for a particular book, chapter 2 of a particular book by the end of the week. And people are expected to write a summary and also the application of the book. I believe that this book club reads self-help books. So they give a summary of the chapter and application of how they can apply the chapter in their day-to-day lives. And also, at the end, they meet, they finish reading the book, they meet, they discuss the book. And the other book club say they can have a physical meeting, but if you can't be there physically, they share a Zoom link, and then you become a part of the conversation. And then some of the book clubs say that if you don't read the book, you're kicked out, and sometimes you have to pay a fine to come back in the book club. I believe that it's a good practice, because there's some people who end up being lazy and just making excuses just because they want to be part of a community, but they don't do the work. The same with when we're in school. If you didn't do a certain task, you were given a certain punishment. So I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's encouraging us, because you're the one who wanted to be in the book club. So you have to do the work. The other conversation was about writing in another language. And if you are able to have more readers, and how the journey is. I liked how the speaker said that you are able to embrace your culture and your tradition. You are able to speak what's on your mind and how you feel, because sometimes it's difficult to. There's some things that are difficult to write in English. Let's say, if you say akamuridza nimbama, you can actually hear the sound of the slap on someone's cheek. But now when you're writing it in Shona, there is no emphasis. And there are some words that don't even have Shona slang, and some words that are difficult to translate to English. So they say that you're able to embrace your culture, you're able to embrace your tradition. But sometimes you say there is limited readership, because there are some people, let's say if you're writing in Shona, your audience, there are some people who don't understand Shona and can't even read Shona. But now, because of moving and all, there are some people who are able to speak, but they are not able to read a certain language. So she also said that there are more opportunities nowadays, because some universities are still practicing reading or studying language. So your books end up being a set book, and you're being asked to speak in seminars and all. So there's a lot of readership, because there's some people maybe back home, Kumusha, who would like to read a book. So instead of just going there with a lot of groceries at the end of the month, why don't you just buy them the favorite Shona or Ndebele book or Kalanga book or Zezuru book, and then you give them so that they read. I'm sure it would make them smile. Let's say right now they are sitting by the shade and reading that book. They would appreciate it more. I really wonder why I don't have a poetry book up to today. I've read some poems, even poetry books, but I don't own one. And after yesterday's discussion about poetry, I forced myself to buy a poetry book next month. So, and after I've done reading that book, I'm going to be reviewing it. And the poets say that poetry can be used as a tool of healing. You can even share your personal experiences and even your struggles. And when you're writing, you sometimes think that this manuscript is just good enough for publishing. But when you give it to your editor, the editor says that you need to start again, you need to put more work and all. So writing is not a one-thing process. That's one thing that the poets say. They said writing is a process, and you need to take time, because you might write a book today and then you think you want to publish it tomorrow. But you need to take time. You need to consult other people who have been writing for a long time. And I liked how one of the poets said that you sometimes, Tanaka Chidora said, sometimes you need to write in someone else's voice. There are some poems that you can't write in your voice. Let's say the issues of Chimurenga. You can't be writing about that when I'm just a 20-something-year-old female. You need to borrow someone's voice. Let's say Gogo, who's in Bikita. Gogo, who believed that during the war. Who says, but you, everyone wasn't there except Gogo. Gogo is the only survivor in your village who went to the war. So when Gogo is saying this thing, there are some words that she cannot use. There are some... the way that she describes certain things are different to the way that you describe it, even the tone, even the language and the voice. And when he say that, when he read a poem that he wrote about borrowing someone's voice, it had more emphasis because he had explained about it. So even when you read it, it's someone else's voice. And when you're reading it, you're no longer using your voice, but it's someone else's voice. And you can see the picture of how Gogo maybe has got wrinkles. Gogo has got a scar on a leg because she went to war. So it brings you closer and you're able to connect with someone who went to war through even poems. There are two friends from Zambia. One friend from Zambia and the other friend from South Africa who shared their experiences or even the books that they have read from Zimbabwe. They also say that I've also learned that books connect people. When you're reading a book, you become aware of what's going through someone's mind, or even what's happening in your neighbor's country or even in your neighbor's life. Let's say in the case of Zimbabwe, because when you read a certain book, when there's one of the guest speakers say that when they read a story about No Violets Blawayo, we need new names, she was able to understand how life was during the time of the 2008 era, and you are able to connect to the readers. And she also said that when she read The Harvest of Thorns, and when Benjamin did not return, Benjamin died, the pain that she went through, considering that one of the speakers from Zambia was already born after Zambia had attained its independence. So she was able to connect with people, let's say in Zimbabwe, who lost their lovers during the independence struggle when they were young and at a particular age. And also reading breaks barriers. It breaks a wall. When you read a book, when you read a South African book, you begin to see life in a South African way. When you read a book, there is no longer a barrier that I'm Zimbabwean or you're South African or you're Zambian. You become one, because the only thing that's bringing you together is reading book. And what I loved about the Harare Open Book Festival, I met Bettina Gava. I have been a fan of her work. I read 3 of her books, and it was nice to meet her and also take a selfie. I liked how it was a day of just having conversation around books. There are people who read books in Harare, even in Zimbabwe. And I'm sure that there's some of the things that we need to do more often, because people read books. We need to promote the reading culture, because these days there are no longer people who've got time to go to libraries. But books are everywhere. We even have a mobile bookstore, Harare Book Fantastic. So if you're looking for a book, you can look up for Book Fantastics, and that's for the book that you want. So back then, that's when people needed to go to the library and borrow a book. But now you can just get your book and then you read it. And most of the speakers were encouraging people to review their books. Because the moment that you review a book, that's how someone bumps into someone else's book. And I feel guilty for reading some books and failing to review them. I think I need to do better. I was also able to buy my own book. After all the confusion, I decided to make a purchase. And I bought a family portrait, which is a book about the issues of domestic violence. And I'm looking forward to reading it. But it was nice just standing by the store and deciding that I want this book. I want this book. I want this book. I wish I could get all the books, but I just said I'd get one and get another one next month. It was a well-planned event, and the program was good. Even though there were some hiccups around time, it was going on so well. And the venue, we were at Ella in the Garden in Newlands. And I know that some people don't like going to events because they end up saying, where would I get the food? Would there be shade? Consider that that is hot, but I like that there was shade and there even tents so that people were not in the sun, and there was food at the restaurant so you could just order your food and go about and enjoy the day, not feeling that I need to go home now because I'm hungry. What have I learned? I've learned to appreciate the small things. I've also learned to do all the things that I want while I can. That's why I went to that at Open Book Festival. There's a first time for everything. And I've realized that solo dates are not a bad idea. You can actually go on a solo date. It's good for you. And it's not a crime to just spoil yourself. What am I looking forward to this week? Looking forward to receiving good news, to be the best version of myself, and to encourage someone out there. Always remember to inhale positive energy and exhale negative energy.